Well, we hear about sex trafficking in countries like Thailand, but is it happening right here in America before our eyes? You better believe it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have a lot to talk about and cover today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. It's Wednesday, and we often focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues, but from a gospel perspective, we've got a guest that'll be coming on in a few minutes who herself was a victim of the sex trade of human trafficking. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more. Welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was sent a link to a blog with a surprising title. It is the Summer's Pinch blog spot. It is from a Christian mother, and it is addressing Rachel Held Evans, who is well known in some evangelical communities as a spokeswoman and leader. I've challenged her orthodoxy in terms of the things of the faith. But here's a blog that says, "Dear Rachel Held Evans," and it goes on to say that this Christian mother finds Rachel to be more dangerous than Miley Cyrus in terms of being an influence on her daughter. Really? Yeah, I'll share more of that with you as well. And if you hadn't heard the news, this is from England. I was sent this link this morning. Here comes the bride, and another one, and another one. I'm not making this up. Just remind you, it's April 23rd. It's not April 1st. I'm not making this up. Here comes the bride, and another one, and another one. Meet world's first married lesbian threesome. And they're expecting a baby due in July. Okay, I am going to go out on a limb here. I know it's early in the show, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to make a controversial statement and go out on a limb. I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. But here, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to really risk it, Joey, and make the statement that this baby that these three lesbian women are expecting, this baby is not the biological offspring of the three of them. Oh, and I could make that same statement if it was two of them. Doll, Kitten, and Bryn, all from Massachusetts, married last August. Kitten, 27, had IVF using sperm donors, expecting daughter in July. Friends, the biggest issue in all of these things we look at is the sexual anarchy of our society in the West. Can I tell you something? It can't be sustained long term. You know, I got saved in 1971. I came out of the hippie movement, but I was just 16. So for me, it was more just feeding the flesh and rebellion and so on. But there were larger ideologies in the hippie movement, the whole communal way of life, etc. It didn't work. It didn't pan out. And I saw a documentary about the 60s and the hippie movement, and one sociologist said, look, if it could have been done, it would have been done successfully on a societal level. Certain things just do not work. I want to say plainly that this does not work and cannot work and will not work long time, which means that those of us who love God and those of us who love marriage and family as God ordained it and God intended it, that we'll be blessed and we'll be a light in very, very dark places in our society. We'll be right back with Rebecca Bender. You don't want to miss her story.
is The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm delighted to be with you. It is Wednesday, our focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. I was ministering down in Orlando, of Florida, a few years ago. There was a ministry there that did a lot of street outreach and also helped rescue young people who were caught in sex trade, in human trafficking. And they said one of the most horrible things they ever heard in their lives, as organized crime is getting more and more involved in this, was they heard the saying, well, you can only sell a drug once. You can sell a child over and over again. Shocking even to say those words. My guess, Rebecca Bender, is more than just a survivor of domestic sex trafficking. She's an award-winning, internationally recognized speaker, author, and survivor leader in the movement to eradicate modern-day slavery. Today, married with four children. Her website, RebeccaBender.com. Rebecca, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on the air. Rebecca, little by little, Americans are finding out more about the immediacy of human trafficking, how it's not something that just takes place in Thailand or some other foreign country. How prevalent is this in America? How big of an issue are we talking about here in the United States?
Human trafficking is one of the biggest epidemics in America today, and you know, it's actually surpassed the sale of guns and illegal arms trade in our country. It's second only to drugs. And just like you gave the intro to it, it's gang members and organized crime are realizing that they can sell a person over and over again. So it's really on the rise, which is sad and has been for a while. So I'm glad to hear that some headway is being made with raising awareness.
Yeah, we have a number of our ministry school grads working in the States and some in other countries combating this. So they keep coming to me with stats that are overwhelming. And in some of the overseas situations, the lifespan of someone once they're sold into sex slavery. But most of us have no idea how something like this could possibly happen in America. Is it mainly runaway kids that get pulled in? Are there other ways people get pulled in? I know you have your own story, but in terms of the most common ways, how is this happening right in the streets of America?
That's a great question, and one that we try to do lots of training on at various state agencies. Basically, just to throw some other stats at you, there's about 100,000 to 300,000 children sold in America every year. Mm. Out of that 300,000, 87% of them are American citizens, so it is not a foreign issue. I mean, while it is, the one we're talking about here on domestic soil is definitely an American children issue. The average age of entry into forced prostitution is 12. And typically what we have seen is that about 90% of trafficked children have experienced some form of abuse in the home, whether that's sexual, verbal, emotional, or physical. The startling fact for that with me is when you look at an epidemic of 300,000 children, 10% are not abused, which means 10% come from what you would consider a normal upbringing, which could be just families like mine or yours. So no child is exempt from the lure of a trafficker. That's typically what it looks like in America. Now, runaways are approached usually. I think there's a statistic that says one out of three runaways are approached by a trafficker within 42 hours or something. So they're definitely more vulnerable. The problem with that is typically when a runaway is picked up by law enforcement or juvenile hall, they'll chalk them off as just going, oh, well, they're just a runaway. Of course, they were involved in some sort of crime. The problem is we want to say to the law enforcement, as we want to say, of course they were involved. That's the trafficker's target market. It's easier to lure away a girl that's looking for love in all the wrong places than it is a healthy mind, of course. So
right.
It's not vice versa. It's they're being lured because that's who they're targeting.
And why is it that they are then held in someone's control? I mean, they can't be watched 24/7, but obviously there's a certain grip over them so that that many are afraid to break away or run away, even in the midst of a miserably degrading lifestyle. What's the power that's held over them?
We talk a lot, and I talk a lot in my book, which is Roadmap to Redemption, about the power of coercion. And technically, the United Nations and American definition of human trafficking is to use force, fraud, or coercion in order to gain from commercial sexual exploitation. So what is coercion? You know, how, and that's part of the thing we want to raise awareness on. What does coercion look like on a daily basis in people's everyday lives? And typically, it's hard for some people to come up with one actual example or scenario. But coercion is real, and it's detriment to people, especially to teenagers who don't have any love at home or who are looking for attention. Coercion is very real, and it's strong. And some psychology will talk about trauma bond syndrome, Stockholm syndrome, post-traumatic stress disorder. Those things are very real in an unhealthy child's mind. Especially in a healthy child, right? I mean, we all know adolescents don't think clearly. I didn't turn 18 and suddenly get smart the next day.
Yep,
you still
exactly.
Kind of stay an adolescent. So it's really easy to manipulate and use force and threats and coercion to continue to make these girls and boys do what their trafficker demands, regardless if he's right there in the room.
Now, you know, I know in foreign countries, it'll be a common thing. You'll go out, say, some of our missionaries in Thailand or the Philippines, they'll run into this. The folks will go into rural villages and offer pay. And, you know, here we've got a really good job in the city for your daughter, for your son that's 10 years old or 12. So they'll come in not knowing they're being sold into human trafficking. But then they can be threatened that either will kill your family if you try to run away, or your family's depending on this money. They're going to starve if you don't help. And we had friends that were involved in ministry there that told us how kids that had been rescued actually fled and went back to the trafficking, thinking that they were doing it for the safety of their family. So the mm-hmm. power of manipulation, the satanic, ugly spirit behind it that controls people, it's mind-boggling that people are making money off of this. I mean, it's just staggering yeah. to think about. And Rebecca, your own story, and obviously folks need to go to your website, RebeccaBender.com, and then get your book, Roadmap to Redemption, to get the whole story. But take a couple of minutes and explain how you got pulled into this. It wasn't what someone would think is the typical route.
Right. Well, just real quick, my website is RebeccaBender.org.
Sorry about that.
Just to make sure that we're sending people to the right place. That's okay.
All right.
No, you're fine. What you were talking about that happens in third world countries is so true and still happens. Very similar tactics are used right here in the U.S. And that's why I believe, especially as Christians, we need to take such a stand against this because it is satanic. It is demonic. It's that spirit of manipulation and that spirit of coercion that Hitler used, that third world countries use, that it's everywhere. It's not just a one country or a one generation or a one decade, you know, epidemic. It's a spirit that can only be fought in the spiritual realm. And Christians really need to rise up and help the army of God in fighting that epidemic that's killing, stealing, and destroying our youth. It's crucial. But for me, my personal story, like you said, you can visit my website, RebeccaBender.org, to read more about me. But I'm just born and raised in a small Oregon town. Middle-class family, was never abused, never put in foster care. My dad was an alcoholic, and my parents divorced when I was younger, but I would never have been put in a typical at-risk category. I was great in school, played varsity sports. I even was accepted and enrolled into our state university. And it was a little while into going off to college that I met my trafficker at a party near campus. And he pretended really to just be a guy interested in me, like any young college girl is excited about. And we dated for quite some time. And when he invited me to move in with him, although there might have been some trepidation or concern in that moment. You know, as a young, vulnerable, in love girl, I went with my boyfriend to move in with him, and it ended up he was a trafficker. And this happened right, you know, at a small community in the state of Oregon, and I was taken to Las Vegas.
And the thing to realize is that someone here plots this out, plans it out, gets involved in what appears to be a relationship with someone that could be vulnerable, and then twists them to do things they never would have planned on doing. We'll come back with Rebecca Bender. I want to hear more of her story and talk about how we respond to these issues. Her website, Rebecca Bender, that's Rebecca with C's, RebeccaBender.org. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to have this opportunity to be with all of you. Hey, just another reminder to our friends listening on WMCA in Greater New York to continue listening at 2:30. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. You can do it on your cell phone or on your computer or tablet, and just click on Listen to the Line of Fire Live. Same thing with our friends and WAVA-FM in Greater D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Or you can keep listening on WAVA-AM. I'm going to continue speaking with my guest, Rebecca Bender. Her website, RebeccaBender.org. Her story is Roadmap to Redemption. That's her book that you can purchase. A lot of things I want to talk about, but I want to get right back to Rebecca's own story. So you're in college. You didn't come from some background where you had run away. You meet a guy, takes an interest in you, seems to be a genuine relationship. You move in with him. So again, we'll get the short version here, and folks can get the rest in your book and on your website. But how then does somebody go from starting there, thinking you're in a relationship with a man, how does he get you to end up being basically a slave to something that you never signed up for?
You know, I think that this is really crucial when we look at human trafficking. And this was one thing my husband asked me when we talk about human trafficking. He says, how does it happen so quickly? And I said, it doesn't. Those are TV shows and media. The truth is that it takes a long time, and it's a gradual expansion of boundaries. You know, there's that saying, you would not put a frog in boiling water or it would jump right out. But if you put a frog in cold water and put it on the stove, turn the stove on, it will gradually cook to death. So how can we help youth and young women identify when the water is gradually heating up around them? We do have a human trafficking resource tab on my website. You can click on the Power of Coercion link to get 40 non-abusive tactics that traffickers use to coerce their victims. You can also click on the link that says Red Flag Brochure, and that's a Are You Dating a Trafficker brochure that we use when we do youth outreach. Both are really great tools to recognize how that water is gradually heating up around a woman, young woman, and how she can get out, how she can jump out. And that's really what happened with me and my story. It was a gradual expansion. Why don't you try? Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to a strip club? And, you know, I wasn't raised in a real Christian home, so I thought, you know, well, what's the big deal? And he would say, no, don't act like you were a virgin when I met you. And you'd dance around in a bikini at a pool. Like, don't act like this is, it's not going to be anything different. And I'll be right here if you need anything. And, you know, we can make $800 a night. Wouldn't you want to, anyone just want to try it once? And it was that one time just doing not prostitution acts, but commercial exploitation, you know, nonetheless. And my boundary box just gradually expanded until he was able to convince me to do that. In the meantime, also, I mean, he did use domestic violence tactics. There was definitely verbal abuse, and he began physically abusing me right away. The question that's typically asked after this, Dr. Brown, is why didn't you just run?
Yeah. Well, people, that's asked by the people who weren't there, correct?
Right, always. Or often police, policemen. But my answer to that generally is, I did. Why do you think I'm sitting here today talking to you? I did just run. Why didn't I run sooner? I mean, if that was the question, why didn't I run the first time? You think it's going to get better, just like why any battered wife doesn't leave her husband. You're still filled with the promises later on when he goes through the, oh, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, we'll get help. You go through those same things. You think, you know, I just want my relationship to go back to how it was a few months ago. And maybe if I just do this one thing different, next time it will be different and he won't respond that way. And you go through those same mental things that any domestic violence victim goes through.
Yeah, and Rebecca, I'm just looking at a headline I was just sent by Joey, our faithful engineer, who's actually contributing as a producer today. For those who think, you know, that's Rebecca's story, or she should have known better, or, you know, I'm hearing all these stats, but I've never heard of it. Okay, how about this? For all of my listeners in Greater North Carolina, report from last week, 40 charged in human trafficking probe in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we're not talking just the biggest city in America. We're not talking overseas. We're talking in our backyards. Rebecca, I appreciate you're going to stay on with me a little bit longer to talk through a few more issues. But just in 1 minute's time, after living through what you lived through, is it really possible to find wholeness and healthy relationships in Jesus after all of that trauma?
Absolutely. Jesus is, my personal opinion, Jesus is the only way to find true and absolute freedom. If we look for something other than Jesus, really the enemy is just switching our cloak of bondage to self-righteousness or fame or promotion or purpose. Our true freedom is only comes through Jesus, who can transform and redeem hearts and minds and give you, a new heart, a new song in your heart and a new stone to stand on. You're just so, I just can't even tell you how much freedom I have knowing that I have a new heart of flesh and that he has transformed and renewed my mind, that he's got rid of those old habits and those old fears that my trafficker ingrained in me, that God can undo. Just being in his presence for a few minutes can undo what years of counseling could do if you really seek the Spirit of God. And that's my message, and that is what I bring. The human trafficking movement is not a monolithic group. We don't all have that same view. But as a Christian faith-based survivor leader, that is my niche, is the faith-based community. And I think, obviously we know paramount in to end human trafficking.
Right. And ultimately, yes, it has to be a gospel answer, especially for the victims of it. And look, we're believing that God's going to radically convert those that are in the midst of the being the victimizers as well. So we work with law enforcement, we educate, but we're believing that God is going to turn the tide. And thank God for his supernatural grace and for wholeness that you found in Jesus. My guest, Rebecca Bender, her website, rebeccabender.org, and her book, Roadmap to Redemption. And friends, you may not be aware of what's called the Reformation Project, launched by a young man named Matthew Vines. It is sending young people, specially trained and equipped, to go to churches and to convince them that homosexual practice and following Jesus are compatible. All the more is it imperative to get my brand new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality. It will simply and clearly sort out the issues. It'll really give you a heart for people struggling in these areas, and it'll help you to think scripturally and practically as well. You can pre-order from the first printing, which will be out within 2 weeks. You can pre-order a numbered signed copy, $30 postage paid. Just give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. By the way, it's a way you can partner with us, and we can bless you. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. When you're there, make sure you click on latest article as well.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I actually have hardly given out the number because I haven't been trying to take phone calls so I could spend maximum time with my guest, Rebecca Bender. Her website, RebeccaBender.org. She is speaking out against the evils of human trafficking as a victim herself. Rebecca, you're married. You have four kids. You could do a lot of good church ministry. You could bless and help people in a lot of ways. You draw negative attention to yourself. Certainly, some people are going to come against you. Is this obviously you have a tremendous burden about this? But you've paid a price to take a stand. It's just easier to kind of go in the background, isn't it? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Of course, it would be easier. I think it would have been easier for Jesus not to go to the cross, right? But then everyone else would have suffered. And there's just been times that, you know, God has shown me and reminded me that if we're not, we're equally as disobedient to not do what he's called us to do. And there was a time when I was sitting in my kitchen, my comfy little cup of coffee and my children asleep, and I was reading my word, having my quiet time, and the sun started coming up. And it made, normally the sunrise is supposed to be something beautiful that most people enjoy. But for me, it triggered in me this memory of time to go home. Sun goes up, it's time to go in, back to your trafficker. And my stomach turned. I just got sick. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me, how can you just sit here in your comfy surroundings, knowing what those girls are feeling right now, that those girls are more scared to go home than they are to have sex with a stranger? How can you just sit here in your comfy home and do nothing? And I thought, I just started crying. How can I do nothing when I know these are someone else's daughters? These are God's daughters. And he's not going to let some people sleep until they're found. Just like you or I couldn't sleep if our child was gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me ask one more question just on the abuse end. And then I just want to interact with you as followers of Jesus. How do we honor him, preach the gospel, and yet interact with culture at the same time? But you mentioned right at the beginning that a high percentage of the kids that run away or that get involved in the sex trade come from abusive homes. You may have these figures at your fingertips, you may not, but have you looked at the degree of abuse that comes from broken homes as opposed to stable homes? Have you looked at that, or are you familiar with those stats?
I've looked at several different, stats, are so changing depending on who's doing the research, but I've looked at, read dozens of articles on various topics of research in abusive homes. Some that come out really highlighted to me are the ones that have no father figure in the home, that you're higher likely to go to jail and to use drugs if you are raised without a positive male role model in your life. And I think that in itself can be can be turned around so much to the Lord and how he designed children to be and how he designed people and humanity and that we're in his image and that he's our heavenly father. And we need that as children. We desperately need that.
Yeah, and the other thing is where you have remarriage, so you have, say, a stepfather in the home, and in many cases it can be godly. This can be God's answer to a previous disaster where someone was abandoned or something. But you have a much higher percentage of sexual abuse and things like that because it's not the biological child. And then you bring in maybe a stepfather, and he's raising a 13-year-old girl that's not his daughter. You open up the door to more and more of this, which just reminds us again of the importance of biblical values and family. Hey, I've got one more segment with Rebecca here, but by all means, find out more about her personal story and then what you can do as an individual believer to be part of God's answer against the epidemic of human trafficking. The website, RebeccaBender.org.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Great to have you on the air with us. It is Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we focus on moral and cultural issues here on The Line of Fire. My guest is Rebecca Bender, herself a victim of human trafficking, now an outspoken voice of hope and redemption in the midst of it. Her website, RebeccaBender.org. You know, Rebecca, in my own life as a Jewish believer in Jesus, I, of course, immediately getting saved, came into conflict because my family and our tradition didn't believe this. And I was a heavy drug user when I got saved, so I saw God's delivering, transforming power. And then over the years, you know, following the Lord, you get involved in controversy. But it was 10 years ago that I got really burdened about issues of homosexual activism. And as I did, I began to read the stories of individuals, getting beyond the activism to the people. And my heart began to break for the people. And the Lord gave me a clear word of commission: reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And of course, we see this spreading everywhere in society, and gay activism's become the principal threat to religious freedom and freedom of speech and conscience. And interestingly, although I have colleagues who are involved in the human trafficking epidemic, I was not aware of your work or ministry until I was sent a quote where you had raised concerns about Christians perhaps putting too much emphasis on issues of redefining marriage or things, and thereby pushing people away or seeming judgmental. I responded to that on the air, and then someone sent me a gracious response from you to when they had sent the clip. So I said, you know, let's bring Rebecca on and have this conversation. So and that's why I wanted to focus more on your story and the important work that you're doing, and then just add this on as a conversation that we're having as concerned believers. Andrew Sullivan, well-known gay journalist, almost 20 years ago wrote, "If nothing else were done at all and gay marriage were legalized, 90% of the political work necessary to achieve gay and lesbian equality will have been achieved. It's ultimately the only reform that matters." And I look at this as part of the frog in the boiling water, as part of mm-hmm. the larger transformation of society, and now even freedom of believers to hold to certain things. Have you reflected on that? Obviously, it's not your main focus, but how we can stand for righteousness in society without just appearing to be angry and judgmental to people?
Absolutely. And I mean, talk about reflection. And I think that's the crucial point. And what you and I have similar, I guess, goals in mind is I feel like, how can we be believers in a culture today? And my whole premise of Rebecca Bender Ministries is to change the mindset of a culture. And it's been so obvious that Christians have received a really bad rap over the last several decades, just the way we have, I say we in quotations, you know, have treated people. And when I started video blogging, which was just recently, you're probably that the one that you received the clip of was probably one of my first ever video blogs.
And you got jumped on right out of the block there.
I totally did. And you know, you learn a lot of lessons from trying to go public with your story and trying to help transition from just a human trafficking arena to more of a faith-based arena. I've learned a ton of lessons, and I'm not exempt to learning lessons as a Christian. And I'm not afraid to say, you know, and I'm going to learn this along with you guys. I'm willing to be transparent with you as a survivor leader. I think as a leader in any arena, if we're not able to be transparent, then we're just partnering with Satan to make others feel condemned. And I don't want to do that. I'm willing to be open and transparent and learn publicly with everyone. And, you know, I'm definitely taking some hits for that. And they've been hard. I won't lie. They've been, you know, very, very emotionally hard for me to hear people say things like, "You rather offend God than man, and your poor children are being brainwashed by you." And I just think, you know what, the Lord, as I run to my Heavenly Father about the bullies, which is definitely what had happened recently, what I love he said to me was, "You have been beaten and raped and sold. You know, what is this? Like you have been through worse, and yeah. This isn't going to stop me." With a few comments of people who definitely misunderstood my point, Homosexuality is not my platform. It is not my venue. And maybe I used a wrong analogy.
Yeah.
Initially, my thought, Dr. Brown, and I'm sure you can understand this being a public speaker much longer than I have been, is I was trying to get people to come read my blog on human trafficking. And I thought, you know what? My personality in person is a lot more engaging than my writing, which is why I'm a speaker more than I am a writer. And so I thought, you know, if I could just give a couple little video blog commercials that maybe then people would go read the blog. Clearly, that was a lesson learned, that that definitely didn't happen. Some people just saw the blog. They didn't read anything. They just took the title. And, you know, that's the culture today. We're living in a sound bite culture. And and so I need to learn to be more diplomatic and more leading in the way to lead people to what I really want them to hear and say. Because sometimes you only get a second, 30 seconds, an elevator spiel. And I need to get better at that. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I did it wrong, and I've learned some lessons, and I'm definitely going to do it different next time. That's for sure.
Oh, well, listen, we're all in the learning process and learning curve, and better to learn early on in a blog than when you have 60 seconds on international television with hundreds of millions of people watching. So we're all watching our words and praying. And again, the soundbite generation. The thing I'd encourage you in is in terms of issues having to do with homosexuality, it's a no-win affair right now. In other words, unless you say, I affirm homosexual practice and you can follow Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time, you're still, no matter how sweet you are and nice, and look, you're engaging, you're warm, you're clearly full of love, you're clearly full of joy. And again, as you say, that is going to draw people to your message. But it's such a no-win situation that, you know, I take a stand in obedience to the Lord, just like you've taken your stand. And the word I've operated by is reach out, resist. On a personal level, I've sat with people, I've cried with them, I've heard their stories. They know I care about them. Some think I'm crazy, but they know I care. On a national level, I'm hated, reviled, mocked, but that's fine. In other words, we take that just like Jesus on the cross, and I'll probably get quoted for saying this, comparing myself to Jesus, but that's not the point, that we take the abuse like he did in order to serve people and stand for righteousness anyway. But I think your story is compelling enough, and the issues are compelling enough, that as you focus on that, that's what's going to draw people in. You know, you'll have carnal PR people tell you, you know, if you'll do this and do that, it'll draw attention. But that's not who you are. And I think that's the story. Not, you know, because we all hear about the stats more and more. And then you might hear about a child victim. But to hear the story of a survivor who's full of life, who has hope, who's happily married. And again, that's one reason when I found out more about your story, I said, I want to expose everyone I can to it. So we're in this together. If we can ever be of help, let us know, and keep standing for the Lord, keep bringing hope. And I tell you what, I want to send you two books that will speak to reach out and resist. The 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which just lays out why these are massive cultural issues, and the new one that'll be out any day, Can You Be Gay and Christian, about compassionate ministry. So my gift to you for coming on the air.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I think there's so many cultural issues, and I'm glad we're all, God is sending all of us into our culture with different messages of obedience. And I need to definitely just stick with my platform that I know. I tried to draw an analogy that didn't work real well. But you know what? I do know what I do know, which is freedom from human trafficking, and I am ready to combat that full force. So I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, and let me say one other thing for everybody listening. Listen to what Rebecca is saying. The only reason any of us get ahead is because of a humble spirit. And listen, you know, every day, every week, I'm listening to people and seeking godly input, and I've had it day and night for 38 years from my wonderful bride. When she tells me I do something right, I mark it down and put a star on it because I don't hear that a lot. But it's that great attitude that God's going to honor, Rebecca. So thanks for shining brightly and joining me on the broadcast.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Boy, what a breath of fresh air to speak to her, to hear the hope and victory in her life. A lot of people go through abuse like that. All the things she's lived with, and she's not giving us all the gory details. I didn't want them and wouldn't talk about that on the air in that way. But to come out alive, healthy, well, full of hope in life, and then to have such a humble spirit about it, that is absolutely terrific when she realized that she misspoke and we drew attention to it. So praise God, we move forward in Jesus' name. We come back, oh boy, we've got some things to talk about here on The Line of Fire. You are listening to the right broadcast on the right day. Michael Brown. Don't forget, visit the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. My latest article, were Ananias and Sapphira believers? What does it even matter?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, friends, we are in a situation where day by day, there is increasing sexual anarchy. Now, it's bad news. The good news is that we know the Lord and that we know that marriage matters. Now, not all Christians have lived that out rightly, and I've often said that heterosexual no-fault divorce in the church has done far more to undermine marriage than all gay activists combined. I still hold to that. And if you're the victim of divorce, you've been abandoned, you were abused and your spouse cheated on you and divorced you, and you're trying to believe for life after divorce, of course there's hope in the Lord, and of course there's restoration, and of course God can bless your life with fullness again. But I want to say this plainly. Those of us who know the solution, those of us who know the answer, are equipped to say, here, look at our families. Look at the quality of our lives. That's the way it should be. In the midst of a difficult world, a fallen, messed up world full of injustice and immorality, look at our lives. We are living differently. Now, I do not watch much TV. If I do watch, it's normally a sports event here and there, something like that. If I'm just trying to relax and unwind, I may watch a little bit more sports while I do some other writing or things like that. But there are a lot of shows I only know, and here and there I've watched some shows, but for the most part, I only know about them because I read about them. My chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America that deals with the issues of the media celebration of queer. And by the way, I use that word because it's been mainstream for many years now, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and so on. I didn't know most of the shows. I hadn't seen them. I hadn't watched them. But as I read about them, and then I read transcripts from the different shows and what was featured, that enabled me to put the content together. I was, and I'm about to mention something about a show in a moment. I was flying to or from Hawaii, was it, years ago, a couple years back to minister. Yes, to minister in Hawaii. And there was a prequel for the X-Men series. I hadn't seen the X-Men, maybe little snippets here and there, and it seemed to be a clean movie. It wasn't going to be nudity, profanity, or things like that. So I watched it, and as I watched it, I was shocked by how openly the analogy was being portrayed, that mutant was basically a code word for gay. And that this was something that was a gift that wasn't appreciated or understood, and people had to hide it, and now they were out and proud and so on. Well, anyway, I researched it. I wrote an article about it probably, a year and a half ago. Mutant is a code word for gay in the X-Men movies. And there were some gay websites that mocked me, saying, well, we all knew this. What's new? What's new about what you wrote here? We all knew this. This is obvious, and it's in the comic books and so on, and directors are gay and actors are gay. Of course we knew this. By the way, there are accusations against one of the directors, Bryan Singer, involved with X-Men movies, that he was guilty of sexually abusing a teenage boy. It's simply accusation at this point. It is in the news. May truth come to light, and then may there be repentance and redemption when truth does come to light, whichever way that goes. But I say that to say that there's a whole lot of stuff in the media and a whole lot of things being put forward that if we knew they were there, we'd be even more shocked. So there is a TV series, Game of Thrones. I'm totally unfamiliar with it. I'm unfamiliar with the book or books behind it. And if you got little ones around, a couple of words I'm going to use right now might not be appropriate for the next 30 seconds or a minute, just to let you know. So give you just a couple of seconds if you need to make an adjustment there. But apparently, is a fact that the series features a couple, brother and sister, who are in an incestuous relationship and have a baby. And then the baby dies, and in the most recent show, this is major TV show, widely watched, in the presence of the child that has died, there is an incestual rape scene where the brother basically rapes the sister, the father and mother of that child, in the presence of the dead child. And then it becomes, quote, consensual in the end, and people are protesting, and it's wrong, this is too much. And the director said, oh, no, he said, he said, I'm never that excited about going to film for sex, but the whole thing for me was about dead Joffrey lying there watching the whole thing. He is their firstborn, he is their sin, he is their lust and their love, their everything. If he's gone, what's going to happen? And he goes on with it, and I saw it on Fox News online, and it says, what do you think about this? Did it go too far? Friends, this is the sexual anarchy of our society. I am not just running around like Chicken Little with my head cut off. The sky's falling like a chicken with its head cut off, and just to put two images together there. Our society is fraught with sexual anarchy and complete deterioration of marriage. That's the only reason that we are talking today about redefining marriage. So friends, here we are speaking out. Yes, I preach the gospel. Yes, I seek to share the gospel all the time. Yes, I pour into our ministry school students to raise them up to go to the nations. Yes, I travel to the nations and preach myself. Yes, I'm involved in Jewish outreach day and night. But these are important issues as well. And we serve on this radio broadcast as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We're speaking things that need to be spoken. We're doing things in a way that glorifies the Lord with grace and truth together. And we're underwriting this because, friends, to be frank, people don't pay you a lot of money to stand for these issues. No, you have to underwrite them. Every day we're writing new articles, posting new videos, producing new frontline radio material. So I want to encourage you to stand with us. I want to encourage you to get on the front lines with us so together we can make a difference. Friends, we recently cut way back on many of our radio stations because we did not have adequate listener support in those areas. And we are looking forward not only to getting back on those stations, but expanding all over America. But we'll do it with your help. We'll do it with your support as together we make a difference. So for a simple donation of $30, you can not only help us and bless us. If you can give more, if you can help with more, please do. But you'll also get a special edition, a collector's item of sorts. My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality, a book that you will find to be absolutely essential and one that you'll want to share with your friends. The first printing that will be in within 2 weeks, we number the first few hundred copies, and then I sign them to you with the scripture. And then that's it. After that, we don't do it anymore. So $30 postage paid, a numbered, signed, first edition copy of the book. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in a society of increasing sexual anarchy, it is up to us to shine all the more brightly. Hey, friends, the culture wars are here. Like it or not, they're here at our doorstep. How do we respond as the people of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question for you. How high can you build a building? Oh, I'm not a builder. I'm not a contractor. But how high can you build a building? Well, as deep as the foundation permits, correct? The deeper the foundation, the stronger the foundation, the higher you can build. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I just decided to do something, and I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. And Dwight, you are going to be so happy to hear this. I can see your smile from a distance. But before I tell you about this special announcement and what I'm going to do, you can only build as high and as stable as the foundation allows. I remember ministering in India over 20 years ago as they were putting up a new building. And they had one floor up, and they were putting up the second, and they said, "Brother, we've laid the foundation to go up five stories," and I've been in the top of those five stories many times since. The foundation of a society is only going to be as strong as the marriages and the families are. Repeat that. The foundation of a society is only going to be as strong as the marriages and families are. And to the extent that marriage deteriorates, to the extent that families deteriorate, to that extent, morality will deteriorate, to that extent, social stability will deteriorate. This is not just speculation, it's biblical truth, and it has been borne out sociologically for millennia. And to the extent it's been documented in recent generations, it has been shown to be true. So those of us who know the Lord, know the right thing to do, know the scriptural values, know the scriptural principles. But friends, there is an onslaught against us in our day, and we must stand strong. So Joey, our faithful engineer, sent me this article. I'm just letting you know what's happening in our world today, and the attack on families, and the attack on young people, and the attack on morality, and the attack on sexuality. Last hour, I had Rebecca Bender on the air with me from Rebecca Bender Ministries. She herself is a victim of human trafficking, now is an outspoken voice of hope and courage in the midst of this epidemic. But you say, what's that got to do with me? All right, we've been on the air daily in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, our great station there, for about six straight years. Well, did you hear this report from last week? Winston-Salem police announced arrests on Thursday, 40 charged in human trafficking probe. City police said Thursday, this is last week, that 40 people faced charges in a human trafficking investigation that dates back to 2009. Human trafficking. Police identified seven suspects as having key roles in the initiation and or furtherance of organized prostitution and sex trafficking in Winston-Salem. And the last segment of the last hour before coming on this hour with all of you, I shared about something on national TV that I had to tell the parents, if you get little kids around, they can't be around. But who knows how many kids, young people saw this trash, completely unacceptable, inappropriate for adults. Let's just say talking about a grown brother and sister together. Fill in the blanks. Time for us to take a stand for righteousness. Time for us to raise our voices. Time for us to live right. We come back, we're going to give away some advanced copies of my brand new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? It will be out within 2 weeks. I'm going to give away a few copies, so be ready to call. Don't call yet. Don't call yet. But be ready.
God of light, hear our cry. Send God by. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown,
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm getting all kinds of help today of articles being sent to me just moments ago, literally seconds ago. My wonderful bride of 38 plus years, Nancy, sent me this article published today at foxnews.com. Texas second grader says teacher took away Bible during reading time. The family of a second grade student at a Texas elementary school says their daughter's teacher took her Bible away during a read to myself session. The teacher reportedly said the Bible is inappropriate reading material. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I am going to be giving away a few copies of my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Dr. Al Mohler has said plainly, just in an ebook just recently released, he said plainly, this is an issue that cannot be ignored. And basically, those who are silent will be answering in the wrong way. You cannot ignore this. He says, evangelical Christians in the United States now face an inevitable moment of decision. While Christians in other movements and in other nations face similar questions, the question of homosexuality now presents evangelicals in the United States with a decision that cannot be avoided. Within a very short time, we will know where everyone stands on this question. There will be no place to hide. There will be no way to remain silent. To be silent will answer the question. The question is whether evangelicals will remain true to the teachings of Scripture and the unbroken teaching of the Christian church for over 2,000 years on the morality of same-sex acts and the institution of marriage. Caller number 7, I want to give you a free copy of my book, nearly 300 pages long, eye-opening, life-changing, practical, based on decades of biblical study, biblical scholarship. 866-34-TRUTH, caller number 7. I'll give away a few over the course of this hour, but this is the first one now. Joey, let's grab some sound bites here, and let's start with number 1. What are our kids learning? What are our kids hearing? What are our kids being exposed to? How are they being influenced of the idea that it's okay for two men or two women to marry? What do they think about it? Joe, we're going to start with number 1, and we'll go through a bunch of them pretty quickly. So these are little children being asked about, how do you feel about two men or two women marrying? Listen to their responses, starting with clip number 1.
What do you think about gay marriage?
I don't care. I'm just new to the concept. First time I ever heard about it, I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, but... Well, people should be together if they like each other a lot.
If one person should be able to do something, then everybody else should be able to do it.
That's awesome. Some of our really good friends are gay and lesbian.
It shouldn't have to be any different than regular marriage, even though in our society it is.
Ah. By the way, we have a winner, so thanks for your calls. We'll give away a few more books later. And, of course, you can always order a copy. It'll be out in 2 weeks. But we do have a winner, so no more calls right now. I think it's great that little children are taught to love everybody and be nice to everybody. But do you think a little child understands the meaning of marriage? Do you think a little child understands the difference between a mother and father in such a way that they realize how a mother and father shape the life of that child? Do you think a little child understands the full reality of gender distinction? You say, where are they getting this from? Well, they're getting manipulated heavily through the media. You say, I don't watch those shows. Well, your kids may be watching them, and little kids may be watching them, and these things may be taught in your schools. Again, friends, I appreciate the enthusiasm in your calls, but we do have a winner, and a little bit later in the show, we'll give away another copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? Clip number 2.
And what would you want to say to the people out there that believe gay marriage shouldn't be allowed?
Get a hobby.
Cry me a river, build me a bridge, and get over it.
Just get a whole new idea about it, because it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
If only gay people could marry, you'd be really sad. So why shouldn't they be able to marry?
It's not okay to hate gay people. You can feel that way. Don't bring it into the law.
Think of God. Like, he loves everybody, and he can't hate anything.
You guys are basic
and nobody likes you. No, I'm kidding. If they've never been around gay people and they're just doing what the Bible says or what their parents say, you're judging that person without actually meeting them.
You need to realize you're just a little speck. No one cares what you think.
I wouldn't exactly say, you suck, get out of my life, but I mean, I'd say that in the nicest words possible.
I think that says it loudly and clearly. Why do you need to educate your kids about Scripture? Why do you need to set godly examples in the home? Why do you need to stand for righteousness? Why do you need to help them understand gender distinction? Because they ain't getting it from the media and most secular school systems. Sorry for the improper English. Oh, let's celebrate this together. News from England. I shared it in the first hour, but I've got to share it again. Here comes the bride, and another one, and another one. Meet world's first married lesbian threesome. Hey, ask these kids, how do you feel if you could have like three mommies or three daddies or two daddies and a mommy or a daddy and three mommies? Wouldn't that be cool? What kind of reaction do you think you'll get from them? Let's listen to a few more clips. Clip number three.
So now let's go over some of the reasons people say they're against gay marriage.
Oh, God.
Some have said they're against it because they say it is not natural. Because a man and a woman, they can have children. Is that a valid reason to be against gay marriage?
No.
Nope.
Adopt.
People are mean to each other sometimes. Maybe that's just their opinion.
That's no reason at all. Some people want to have kids, some people don't want to have kids, so it doesn't really affect on it.
If it's happening and it's not a chemical, it is natural.
If it's happening and it's not a chemical, it's natural. Okay. Okay. Let's put two men together, two women together, who say they love each other and want to commit the rest of their lives to each other and they want to raise children together. They want to produce children. Go ahead. Do it naturally. Oh, I'm not putting people down. It's a shame that someone can be attracted to the same sex and then realize we cannot reproduce between the two of us. That's not the way God intended it, though. Yes, it's a shame because it's not the way he intended it, and it doesn't work like that. But again, you could tell little kids all kinds of things. Look, we had some grandkids visiting with us. We had two that live right near us and two that live about 6 hours away in Maryland. And our little seven-year-old, when I was chasing her around the house, she was barking. She was barking like a little dog. Well, I don't do that. If I'm playing ball and I'm, you know, running a ball down, or someone's trying to chase me, I'm pretty easy to catch at this stage. I was never that fast. Plus 59, I'm slower. But I don't bark. Well, she's seven. And then we played grocery together. We sat down and played grocery. And we checked items out and then charged and went back and forth. And she enjoyed playing grocery. Now, I enjoyed it because it was my granddaughter. Otherwise, it was kind of boring. But she... You could get her to think all kinds of things. She's just seven. You say, well, that's the thing. You people teach your bigotry. You people teach your hatred. No, no. We teach that there's a difference between a man and a woman, that a kid should be joined to the mother and father, that the best and fairest way to raise a child is not to guarantee that the child will not have a mother or not have a father, and that... there are gender distinctions made by God, which is why a man and woman come together and become one, and why two men or two women cannot come together and become one as a man and woman do. One more clip of kids reacting to the idea of redefining marriage. Number four.
So in the United States, only 14 states are you allowed to get married if you're gay. Only 14.
That is just insane.
Out of 50. That's outrageous.
I need to talk to Mr. President.
You know what? I feel bad for the people that live in that state and, like, same gender. It's not right.
It kind of takes away from the whole freedom thing.
Loves of freedom. And they're totally taking that away.
It used to be illegal for a black person to marry a white person. I don't get why all this stuff has to be illegal.
Slavery wasn't abolished till Abraham Lincoln. Then women weren't even allowed to vote. We progress a lot, and there's bumps in the road, but now we're at another bump.
I think that you have to find a boy and a girl. I mean, you can get married like that, but gay, you can't get married.
But do you know why you don't like it?
I know.
Oh, that poor ignorant child doesn't know why they don't like that. All the talking points. It's just love. Hey, there was slavery. There was oppression of women. There were no civil rights. This is a civil right. This is the same as the oppression of women. This is the same as using the Bible to sanction slavery. All the standard arguments. By the way, we answer them all in my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality. Due out in less than 2 weeks and couldn't come at a better time. And when we come back, we'll give away another copy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you're infringing on someone else's quality of life or their rights, then that's not okay.
I think that it was a good move on the university's behalf. They told him to leave. He wouldn't. Take him away.
All right, Canada. We talked to you about Canada last week. My friend Peter LaBarbera was arrested along with pro-life activist Bill Walcott. They were at the University of Regina. They were doing something that was perfectly legal to do. In fact, specific cases had been won by Bill Walcott, a specific case even having to do with that very university. They were arrested as they stood handing out pro-life literature and literature that opposed homosexual practice with some signs. They were handcuffed, taken away, and some of the students said it's a great thing. There were students who were applauding, the clear majority in favor of this. And I just want you to hear some comments about this. And let's give away another copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? We'll make it real quick. Caller number 5, 866-34-TRUTH. Caller number 5, a free copy of my new book out in 2 weeks, Can You Be Gay and Christian? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's play clip number 8.
You're infringing on someone else's quality of life or their rights, then that's not okay.
I think that it was a good move on the university's behalf. They told him to leave. He wouldn't. Take him away.
Yeah, all right. there we go. Back with the National Anthem of Canada. Listen, these are students saying, yeah, infringe on our rights. Or it's a good thing they took them away. What if it had been a pro-abortion person standing there? What if it had been a pro-homosexual person standing there doing the very opposite thing, but in the same spirit? And we do have a winner. Thank you. Thank you for your calls. We do have a winner. Let's just hear some more of this, and then we'll go to Ezra Levant on Sun News as he speaks with Mark Stein. Let's go to clip number 9 next. It's just important to know what is happening, what is being said, public perception that says you cannot disagree, you cannot differ. I mentioned earlier in the week, but I did it again. We do have a winner, so thanks for your enthusiasm and your calls, but we do have a winner. I spoke about this in the first hour when we broadcast Blanket New York City and into New Jersey and onto Long Island, that Councilman Daniel Drum is opposing Chick-fil-A opening branches in New York City, is opposing opening branches because the CEO or COO, Dan Cathy, says that marriage is the union of a man and woman. And because of that, he says, look, these bigots don't belong in our city, to paraphrase. And even if they privately hold to these things, we don't want them. What kind of thought police nonsense is this? As I suggest in an article that was posted on townhall.com this week, Perhaps there's some prisons where these folks can be, these bigots, people like you and me, where we can be sent to be re-educated and rehabbed. Clip number 9.
I think that it was a good move on the university's behalf. They told him to leave. He wouldn't. Take him away. And I think that the way that they were promoting it wasn't wholesome in any way, and that it was kind of hating certain groups of people, and that's not okay in Canada.
If you're infringing on someone else's quality of life or their rights, then that's not okay. And you need to be respectful and understand that if you're asked to leave, and to realize, okay, yeah, I need to leave.
I, your dear radio host, am almost speechless. Yeah, one of those quotes you heard before, now repeat it. You're hating people. That's not allowed in Canada. Well, how about if you're hating Christians? Or how you're hating people by saying don't kill the baby in the womb? Hey, hasn't it been announced Bill and Hillary Clinton are going to be grandparents? Well, unless your daughter decides to follow in the parents' pro-abortion footsteps, maybe abort the baby. Hey, it's not a baby, it's just a fetus, right? You're hating people by saying preserve the life of that baby in the womb. You're hating people by saying that homosexual practice is not the best practice for human beings and has health risks and things like that, more than heterosexual acts. That's hating people. Well, do we have time? Yeah, one more clip, clip number 10.
I don't like official ideologies, and that doesn't matter whether it's communism, whether it's fascism, whether it's Maoism, or whether it's the fluffier ones like multiculturalism and equality and diversity. And in fact, that is what is happening on campuses throughout Canada and the Western world now, is that there is, in fact, a formal official ideology. And even if you dissent from it peacefully, you will be taken away. And there's something extremely, I would invite these students to actually think about what they're doing. They're cheering the forces of the state in dragging away someone who disagrees with your opinion. And you should be very careful when you start going down that route, because it doesn't lead anywhere good.
Absolutely. It does not lead anywhere good. Well said. That was the voice of Mark Stein appearing on Sun News in Canada. You may not be aware of this. There's a lot of talk about a new book released by young author Matthew Vines. He claims to hold a high view of Scripture, claims to be evangelical, but he says that God sanctions homosexual unions and he's looking forward to marrying a man and being blessed by God. Of course, it's a horrific position. It's an utterly unbiblical position. It's a completely indefensible position, but it's one that Christians really don't know the word. Are buying into, and of course, liberal Christians who deny the authority of Scripture and are Christians in name only, of course, they're embracing this narrative. And there's an aggressive promotional campaign with the book, and Matthew Vines himself, highly motivated, has raised up a team of young people, trained 50 people to answer our side of things and respond with their issues. All of which means it's perfect timing for my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, to be coming out right now, less than 2 weeks after his book. Providential, because I was not aware of the timing of his book when I started writing mine or worked to finish mine. So we're blessed. We're thrilled to be able to put this in your hands. Can You Be Gay and Christian? By the way, if you want to order the ebook online, Amazon, wait for May 6th. Wait for the official release date. And then flood Amazon with orders that day. That helps bring it to the attention of others. But I want to encourage you to do something special, to partner with us and allow us to bless you as well. Your gift of $30, I will send you from the first printing a numbered and signed copy with a scripture verse for you. So your gift to us helps us in this ministry work, and we send you a special edition of the book that we only do with the first few hundred copies. To order, call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. It's Wednesday. We're focused on the world, moral, cultural issues. In a little while, I want to give away another copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? If you missed any part of the broadcast, the last hour and a half has been very important. An interview with Rebecca Bender, herself a victim of human trafficking, sex trade, and now an outspoken advocate of gospel hope and courage and change in the midst of this. And then we've been hitting on moral cultural issues as your voice, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I received a very gracious note in response to announcements of my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, from a media leader. And she said this, and so, as you already know, God has called you for such a time as this. And she goes on with very, very kind words. But I'm aware that all of us have a function. All of us have a place. All of us have a calling. And at that moment of time that we must step into our roles, it's imperative that we do. I've often used, and of course, since the Lord saved me over 42 years ago, I've been seeking to bear fruit and be a witness and be prayerful and preach the truth and reach out to others and teach and raise up and equip and travel and minister and debate and so on. There are just unique seasons for different things. And for many years, God spoke to me about being on the radio, laid it on my heart. I would journal it, laid it on my heart that there would be a moral and cultural revolution in America, that I, by God's grace, be right in the thick of it. I'm talking about a gospel-based revolution, not one of hatred, not one of violence, not one of anger, not one of intimidation, but one where we overcome evil with good, where we overcome hatred with love, where we overcome lies with truth. And for years I journaled that this was coming, that I'd be right in the thick of it, and that at the same time I'd be on national talk radio. Here we are. I say that to encourage you, friends. And you don't know the difference you can make as a parent, as an individual believer, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a Sunday school teacher, as a young person in school, as a worker on your job. You don't know the difference you can make by living rightly and speaking the truth in love. Well, let's do it. You think you've heard it all, and Matt and I are trying to sort out how much this is just some satire and how much this is meant seriously. But Joey, I want you to get clips 16 through 19 ready. Just when you think you've heard it all, here's the story. Okay, didn't get those. All right, well, tell you what. Not sure what happened with that. I definitely got them, and these are definitely worth listening to. Are they around? Do I still have them somewhere? Let's see here. Let's see. Okay, not there. Stay with me. Trust me, it's worth it. All right, let's give this a shot here. And this is on Learning Channel, TLC. Man in love. Well, let's listen firsthand.
My name is Nathaniel. I'm 27 years old. And I'm in a serious relationship with my car.
Oh, wait. What was that? Oh, let's keep listening.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car that he's named Chase. He met Chase in a resale lot about 5 years ago.
Gosh. All right, do I have time for one? All right, let's go for one more.
He likes a lot of the same music I do. We have a favorite song. It's Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon. I do get in gifts. How you buy something for your fiance or your wife. And then, usually for his birthday, I try to do something special for him, too.
Words fail once again, even if the thing is a satire. What's it telling us about the state of our world? We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, on tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to be talking about the use of the Old Testament in the New. The use of the Old Testament by New Testament writers, the Hebrew Scriptures, what religious Jews would call the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, how it's used in the New Testament, and how we can apply these things to our own lives today. In the meantime, though, I encourage you to check out my latest article. Go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on Latest Article. It's called Were Ananias and Sapphira Believers? You'll find the relevance of it when you read it to our subject tomorrow. And if you have questions about that on our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, be sure to give us a call so that we can help sort these issues through with you. All right, let's give away another copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality. The book is due out on May 6th. I'm holding an advanced copy in my hand, and it's almost 300 pages long. In fact, if we used a large font or larger font, it would have been well over 300 pages. And each chapter, and make it caller number 8, caller number 8, 866-34-TRUTH. Each chapter starts with the argument, the, quote, gay Christian argument, and then gives a concise response. So here's the argument, a couple lines. Here's the response, a couple lines. So right off the bat, you say, okay, here's the question, here's the issue, and here's how we respond. And then you read the whole chapter, and it fills things in for you in depth. Let me address something. Oh, no, tell you what. Let me do this. There is a blog, summerspinch.blogspot.com, and it is a Christian mother, and she has posted something on Monday. It's kind of a shocker. It was sent to me by a friend, and it said, according to this Christian mother, Rachel Held Evans, who is considered an evangelical, I would say you cannot be an evangelical and hold to some of the things she does. But she's considered an evangelical, perhaps a left-wing evangelical. By the way, we do have a winner, so thank you for the calls. We do have a winner. I'll be giving away one more book a little bit later, so stay tuned. But we do have a winner. This always gives Dwight a good workout, so I don't mind the extra calls, but we do have a winner. She says in her blog that for her, Rachel Held Evans is more dangerous than Miley Cyrus. She said, "Dear Rachel Held Evans, a couple months ago I wrote a blog in response to the whirlwind of media attention Miley Cyrus had been receiving. At the time, all kinds of groups were coming out to condemn or condone her sexually explicit behavior both on and off the stage. For me, it was simple. Miley Cyrus, like much of our Western culture, has bought into a secular humanistic worldview that reduces her worth to that of an animal, and so it should not be surprising that she often acts as such. You see, Cyrus, quote, suppresses the truth, Romans 1:18, that she is created in God's image. As in a created being, she has a creator whose rules she must live by. Because she's been created in God's image, this truth is written on her heart, and thus she must live every day in denial of her rebellion to God's law, Romans 1:21-22. It's not difficult to see the great lengths she and everyone else who represses God's law goes to in order to distract herself from her guilt. But then the mother says this Christian mother, I do not fear Miley Cyrus. When I pray to God for my daughter's future salvation, the influence of Miley Cyrus is rarely, albeit not never, what I pray for God to protect her from. Of course, we pray for Miley Cyrus and these other celebrity kids to really come to know the Lord and experience true repentance and a true knowledge of his love and goodness and holiness. But this concerned mom says, I plan on doing my job as a parent and, by God's grace, instructing my daughter in the way she should go. What this means is that by the time she's 12 years old and wants to buy her first music album, regardless of the eternal state of her soul, she'll be able to see the cover artwork on Miley Cyrus's albums and know that this young woman belongs to and approves of the world. Who I fear, Rachel, again addressing Rachel Held Evans, is you. This Christian mother says, you see, you look like a Christian. You talk about Jesus and love and God's word. You claim faith in Christ. You dress appropriately. You are an engaging speaker, a compelling author, and you seem unashamed to share your faith. On a surface level, the only level that perhaps my young daughter or the thousands of readers who visit your blog every day can discern, you seem legit. In a nutshell, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. And she goes on with a very, very strong blog post and ends by saying this: if you are my sister in Christ, then I urge you to repent of your disregard for the authority and sufficiency of Scripture to teach us what is right and what is wrong. If you are not my sister in Christ, then my prayer is that you will shed the sheep's clothing, be granted repentance, and receive such a sweet, beautiful faith in Christ that will eventually lead to no confusion about what truth and love are. Until then, you remain on my list of women's influence to steer my daughter away from, right next to Miley Cyrus. Wow. Now, there are others that have used the acronym NALT to say that they are not like these other Christians, these condemning, hateful, mean-spirited Christians, and these Christians who are oppressing people with their primitive Stone Age beliefs. No, here's the deal, friends. I don't know how long it'll take, but the sexual anarchy revolution will fail. The immoral revolution will fail. Things do have consequences in this world. Ideas have consequences. Actions have consequences. Lifestyles have consequences. And that's why a lot of the promises in Scripture are generational. That's why there are promises in Scripture about how you raise your kids and what happens to them when they're older. That's why there are promises about the children of the righteous or grandchildren. No, every person has to make their own choice. I understand that. God does not bring robots into this world. And as a parent, you cannot program your child like a robot. But you can set a godly example. And you can instill the Word of God in their hearts and minds. There was a preacher I heard many years ago who was raised by a godly mother. I don't remember hearing about his father. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe the father wasn't present. But as he got older, he got into rebellion. And his name was Jerry. And he really wanted to go the way of the world. He really wanted to go the way of sin. And he would start to hang out with the wrong people and do the wrong things. But he could only go so far. Every time he wanted to go further, he'd hear his mother's voice. Jerry's a good boy. My Jerry is a good boy. Jerry is a good boy. Jerry's a good boy. She had just spoken that to him through the years. And you know, look, it's one thing when a dog does something wrong. Bad dog. Bad dog. But you don't do that to your kid. Bad child. Bad child. No, you don't do that. You say, listen, You're raised in a godly home. You have godly values. You're a good kid. You don't do those things. Those are bad things to do. Well, she kept praying for him. And the more she prayed, the more he would hear that voice. Jerry's a good boy. And he would try to do really wicked things, but he couldn't because it wasn't him, even though he wanted to. That's just his particular story. But it reminds me of the importance of raising our kids in a godly way. It reminds me of the importance of having a stable household. Look, the pro-abortion generation, the militant pro-abortion generation is losing more and more steam. It is anti-life. It goes against fundamental human values. It goes against the innate desire in human beings to reproduce offspring. It goes against the gut-level instincts of a mom. That's why a good, 70-75% or more of women who see an ultrasound before getting an abortion decide not to abort. And just sheer statistics, those that keep having abortions are going to have less kids. Those who have a culture that demeans life are going to have less kids. Those who have a culture that does not esteem the importance of the baby in the womb, does not celebrate motherhood, is going to produce less children, whereas those who honor God and see the importance of marriage and family and having children and bring them into this world and esteem and honor motherhood and fatherhood, they're going to have more kids. So if we simply live right and honor the Lord and have stable families, when the dust settles, all the sexual anarchy is going to pass. People are still going to be immoral. I understand that. But the thruples and the polyamorous relationships and the redefining of marriage of two men, two women, at a certain point, this will be a failed social experiment. That's why it's good to be on the right side of God and his truth and his ways. We come back, going to give away one more copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? And I've got some interesting sound bites to play for you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this is going to be mega fast, so are you ready? This is going to be really, really fast. Caller number 4, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My last copy that I'll be giving away of Can You Be Gay and Christian, due out in 2 weeks. Responding with love and truth to questions about homosexuality. Caller number 4. It's always I always like to look at the screen because people wait, pause, and then everything lights up. And the okay, so we have a winner. Of course, we have a winner. Okay, three last things. I'm going to get in three more things here. Real Clear Politics published this public statement yesterday: freedom to marry, freedom to dissent. Why we must have both. This is a statement signed by a number of gay activists and others that are sympathetic to their cause, saying, listen, there has to be the ability for people to dissent. There has to be the ability for people to say we don't agree with this, and there can't be punishments for it. And if society redefines marriage and people differ with it, there has to be freedom there. I commend those who sign this. Of course, I say you're still on the wrong side of the larger issue, namely even advocating for the redefining of marriage. But I do commend those that did sign this. I appreciate them doing it, and I do want to acknowledge it. And it's not fair to paint anyone with a broad brush on any side. So there are those who advocate redefining marriage, who say that there should be religious exemptions. There should be people who can simply say, hey, we disagree with this, without being vilified or suffering like Brendan Eich did, the CEO of Mozilla, who was forced to resign. So I do appreciate that. Article 6 months ago, CNN, polyamory when three isn't a crowd. And at the Atlanta Pride Parade, gay pride parade, of course, right in the midst of the gay pride parade was what? Well, float celebrating polyamory, multiple loving partners. Major show in Australia, major TV show in Australia, me, my husband, and my lover, they're just talking about this. Friends, it's around, it's out. Let's recognize the sexual anarchy of our society. Let's recognize how it ties in with the redefining of marriage. Let's recognize how it ties in with no-fault heterosexual divorce. Let's recognize how it ties in with pornography. Let's recognize how it ties in with all types of other areas of deterioration. And let's get back to living righteously before God. Let me just play a few clips for you.
Last year, it was estimated that more than 500,000 people in America are poly, and it's a growing trend. Why are people choosing this as an alternative to monogamy in general?
In part because people have such long lifespans now that monogamy is not realistic for people. It was much easier when you were dead at 40 to just have one partner, but now you have easily another 40 years of life, and having just one sexual partner for your entire adulthood is just not that realistic for many people.
Yeah. Oh, there's more.
Yeah. Jeremy, you came into the relationship, the other two were already married, and you also live with their daughter, their 10-year-old daughter as well, and share some of the parenting there. So what do you get out of it?
More love, more support. The more people there are, the more support there is for the individual. The more relief there is when there's problems, when there's issues arise, everybody can work together to find a solution.
There you go. That solves the problem. It's going to make a much more stable environment for the kids to, yes, dripping sarcasm. While I'm out at it with sarcasm, Hemant Mehta, who is known as the friendly atheist, every so often he will blog and mention me or criticize me for a certain reason. I interacted with him once, and that was the extent of it, but sometimes a friend will send me his blog. And he says this, it's not heresy for a Christian publisher to promote a gay Christian's book. He's responding to my article that went viral, A Shameful Day for Evangelical Christian Publishing, that came out last week and has been shared 30,000 plus times on one website alone. And What I find fascinating here, and of course he's a literate guy, he's a thoughtful guy. I profoundly differ with him in many ways, and pray that he'll come to know the one true God who created him, and who sent his son to die for him. Absolutely. But what I find ironic is that an atheist is telling me that it's not heresy for a Christian publisher to promote a gay Christian's book. Of course, I'd put gay Christian in quotes, because if you're a practicing homosexual, you cannot follow Jesus at the same time. If you're same-sex attracted and recognize it's part of a fallen, broken world, of course you can deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Jesus like everyone else has to do in one way or another, and God's grace is sufficient, and God even changes people. But it's just ironic that an atheist is telling me that it's not heresy, and then he's quoting and says, hey, look, you know, you can't argue with the math. And, you know, it's one-third of evangelicals or some stat like that that actually support redefining marriage. Well, the idea that those who are true to Scripture and really holding to evangelical conviction want to redefine marriage, that's the part that's nonsense, regardless of what all that poll says is whatever is being cited. All that actually is saying is how much apostasy there is among so-called evangelicals. Hey, but when an atheist wants to instruct me about Christianity and heresy, appreciate him giving it a shot. You got to get plugged in with the source, sir, before you can do that rightly. Friend, will you partner with us? Do you appreciate what we're doing? Are you glad that I'm on the air? Are you glad to know that when social, cultural issues come up, that you have a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, that you have someone that is here standing up for righteousness and doing it in a biblically literate way and caring for people at the same time? If you do value what we're doing, then stand with us, partner with us. Your gift of $30 or more, and some can help with much more, please do. It's a good cause. It won't go into my pocket. It won't go into my staff's pocket. It'll go right back out into this outreach and the work that we do. Your gift of $30 or more, the book I'm holding in my hand, I have an advanced copy, Can You Be Gay and Christian, responding with love and truth to questions about homosexuality. What we do with the first printing, just the first few hundred that come in of the first printing, we number them, and then I sign them with a scripture for you so that you will get what's really a special edition, kind of a collector's item. $30 or more, call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or go right to my website, Ask Dr. Brown. That's askdrbrown.org, and you can order right on the home page. My bottom line today, when we depart from the foundations, from the God-given, God-ordained foundations, what we inevitably have is chaos, anarchy, and disorder.